Good evening, everyone. Here we are once again, ready for an evening of fun, frolics, and other things beginning with F. The studio's a little quiet tonight, which is a pity, as we usually make up for a lack of quality with quantity. However, all is not lost, because we have the person about whom it has been said that if she ever left the radio show, the Tower of London would have a plague of ravens. Or something like that. It's Norma Snockers!
Hello, Dick. I can't think of anywhere I'd rather be. Actually, I can't think of anywhere else to be, full stop.
Seated next to her is the delightful Amelia.
Hello, Dick. Nice to have room to stretch out in the studio for a change.
Last, least, but definitely not leashed, it's Harry Balzac.
Good evening, Dick. Good evening, everyone. And a special hello to our listener.
Enough pleasantry and badinage. That's a fantastically, fantastically fancy word. Badinage. Is that correct? I come from a place...
Yes, that's correct.
Wow, that's unusual for me. How fortuitous. Right, enough pleasantry and badinage. That was a cover while I clicked some buttons. It's time to get on with the news. Are Falcon de Lacy Falcon kidding?
Tharg's plan moves to its next phase.
There will be no announcement of new amphibious craft anytime soon.
Engineers go on 5-day bender.
Pizza Partying Party produces and provides pilots perfectly presented pleasure.
Atrus 5060 consults canon.
Lose, not himself.
And Norma's got something to get off her chest.
With the recent increase in the number of new commanders, more training sidewinders than ever have been required. And it appears that Falcon de Lacy have been forced to buy cheap imports of some of the ship's components. The purchase of components from Gallifrey seems to have an unexpected side effect. The cargo capacity for new ships during training missions has been boosted from the usual 4 tons to 120 tons. We understand that whilst the Pilots' Federation would like to increase the current number of training missions, they are having difficulty in expanding the cargo carrying ones, as they have discovered that with a cargo that's bigger on the inside, although they can carry 120 tons of cargo, they cannot actually lift off. Undaunted, they have started looking at new ways of launching the ship during training, such as a space cannon, a very big space elevator, or their most ambitious plan, using a very long lever and a fulcrum. On one end there is the sidewinder, and the other side is ready to accept the push from a ship accelerating towards the planet with thrusters switched off, or as it's better known in the trade, the full flossy. The Pilots Federation have not yet published the results of these tests.
For around 2 months now, news of the Thargoids has been sparse, and we have had little inkling as to what Tharg the Mighty has been planning. Hutton Orbital Radio can exclusively reveal that we have discovered where the Thargoids are. They are in your ship, and they tricked you into bringing them on board. Look out of your cockpit window now, and you will likely see the stars, or the inside of a station. Now look down. Lower. No, not that low. Staring at your own crotch is not something you want to do in polite company. On your dashboard, what do you see? Likely as not, one or more Thargoid bobbleheads, nodding in a silent and sinister fashion. Do you know what's inside one of those? No, you don't. And yet you were happy enough to install it, weren't you? Targ is showing that he has learned enough about human psychology to know that humans have very short memories. He disappears for a few weeks, and we forget about him and his swarms of death dealers. Then we are happy to accept a souvenir of a war that we think we've won. What makes this scheme so fiendish is that Tharg did not give away these incubation chambers, because he knew that hardly anyone would bother to pick one up. Instead, he made sure that we had to pay only one arx. So it's affordable even after making only the smallest of interactions with the galaxy. He also gave an artificial value to its rarity, pretending that it will only be available for a short period. Thousands upon thousands of commanders have fallen into this trap, rushing to buy, sell, scoop, scan, fight, whatever it took to gain that first precious arx and to spend it on Tharg's bubbling parcel of death. Many commanders even proudly showed images where they had filled all of the slots on their dashboard with the once feared enemy's giggle. We urge you to think carefully about the possible consequences of inviting Tharg into your ship, like the ancient curse that prevents witches from entering. Or is that vampires? Or is that door-to-door salesmen? You know, I can never remember. But once they have been invited in, you may spend the rest of your short life trying to get them to leave.
Although the mystery of the missing truckers has still not been resolved, there was a sighting of Commander Fletch this week, as he was taking his experimental hauler upgrade for a hush-hush mission during an ion storm. Flying through a low-lying canyon in conditions that made his craft look less like a hauler and more like a gondola, he was making slow but steady progress. When there was an explosion at a nearby waste processing facility, and within moments he was up to his waist in... waste. Bio-waste, that is. To add insult to injury, a bow wave from a passing Type 9 that was currently doing double duty as a ferry knocked out his thrusters and left him drifting through a sea of... unpleasantness. And quickly checking the codex for nearby sellers of paddles who could deliver to a commander in distress. This tale does have a happy ending, as the system authorities came in their bright red Type 10 and used a tractor beam or winch to pull Commander Fletch to safety. And they issued a system-wide warning to other pilots to try to avoid such foolishness themselves. Commander Fletch's hauler is currently drying out, but unfortunately no one who isn't upwind can get close enough to see what progress has been made. Rumours that the commander is to rename his craft as the Travelling Cubicle 3 Show are as of yet unconfirmed. When asked for a quote, Commander Fletch said, "This is why they won't give us atmospheric landings."
Engineers took advantage of last week's galactic shutdown to have a get-together celebrating the official opening of Professor Ishmael Palin's new facility in the Ark system. Reports say that everyone was having so much fun that they didn't want the party to end, and things ran on until Monday morning when supplies of Lavian brandy and Commitra's cigars finally ran out. This left commanders across the bubble without engineering services over the busy post-galactic shutdown weekend. Dee Dee Waterman said, "I like the odd glass of Lavian brandy, but you know what it's like when your friends know you like something. People have been bringing me this stuff for 3 years now, as a thank you for helping them out with ship upgrades. I'm glad to get rid of it." When we asked the slightly worse for wear Professor Palin how the opening went, he commented, "After the Thargoid attack and evacuation from the old base, people wanted to blow off some steam. Elvira and Liz got together to create a firework display with Soontil relics and landmines. It was really very beautiful. Just be careful if you're out near Pad 3, though, as we may have missed a couple in the clear-up. Engineers have returned to work now and services are up and running again, except for Chloe Sedesi, who woke up at Explorer's Anchorage and has had to have a hitched lift back on an anaconda which was studying parasol mollusks in the area."
As our listener will be aware, visitor numbers at the orbital have fallen off in recent months. For some, this has been a welcome respite from the usual hurly-burly of Hutton life. Floor Mopping Guy has at last been able to change the head on his mop, whom he calls Charlene. though no one knows why. He's proud of that mop. He's had it forever. He's had to change the head many times and the handle 5 or 6 times, but he's had Charlene since he was a boy. Elsewhere, Commander Ventura has been free to twiddle his knobs in peace, and even Alvin, all praise to our leader, has been able to try to sniff parts of his anatomy that had previously been out of reach. One person for whom the unexpected quietude has not been a blessing is Commander Brett Riverboat. With no one visiting Hutton, his Planet Express pizzeria has been totally empty. Profits have been down, and his recent accounts look like he's been trading in Rockforth for fertilizer. Commander Riverboat has made a decision to stop mucking about behind a service counter and to do what his heart has always told him, be a trucker. Thus, Monday 23rd of September 3305 marked the last Hutton pizza meet at Planet Express Reading with Commander Riverboat at the helm. Photos of bottles of champagne were passed around with gay abandon, a table full of tossers pummeled, pulled and squeezed until they could cover the pizza with their own sauce, and very special personal toppings. We did see someone who looked quite a bit like Commander Overlight serving behind the bar, but we studiously ignored him. He was obviously undercover, as he'd left his usual false beard at home. Throughout the evening, many tady pizzas were assembled and demolished, commanders roistered and doistered, ate and drank, and eventually spilled out of the building to try to work out which ship was theirs for the trip home. At least one commander didn't manage this last part and was still there for breakfast. The occasion also marked our very own Commander Vantierne's trip around the sun anniversary. His age is a closely guarded secret, but as it's bound to be a multiple of 21, we say happy 84th birthday, Commander. A truly splendid pizza meet that was not the end, only the end of them in that particular form. From here on in, we're going to have to pay full price.
Good evening, trackers. Atris 5060 reporting in once more from Canon Research with the latest developments on the Thargoids. Another week has gone by, trackers, and we've no updates on the whereabouts of the Thargoids. Last week, we reported large sums of arcs being transferred under the name Tharg from the Bank of Zaonth, which has led to the Pilot Federation hiring an auditor to investigate any financial wrongdoing by this curiously named account holder. While the investigation continues, Aegis has gone quiet and Eagle Eye is not reporting anything new. As a result, the boffins over at Canon have gotten bored. Oh dear. In order to get my weekly dose of tin foil, I've been interviewing random truckers on the orbital to see what their theories are for the future regarding the alien menace. I managed to corner Commander Comicborn outside Cubicle 3, and rather than face the horrors of the cubicle, he agreed to speak with me. And oh my, the tin foil is strong with this one. According to Commander Comicborn, the crop failure messages on Garnet are fake news. The Rockforth fertilizer is a new version of the mycoid virus developed after the reports of Thargoid interceptors collecting escape pods. By adding it to the food chain, all humans will eventually become carriers and so become poisonous to Thargoids. When a Thargoid interceptor collects a human inoculated with the Rockforth mycoid and opens the pod, the interceptor will be disabled and can be analysed and utilised by human technicians. Phew, this has already been successfully tested, flippin' heck, and the disabled interceptors, these tests have been equipped with human technology. This is where the Orthrus interceptor variant originated. The work was carried out at Palin's old base under Palin's direction, which is the real reason why the base was attacked. And Palin had to relocate in a hurry. It also explains why federal battle cruisers were stationed at Palin's base. It was not a blockade. It was equal parts protection fleet and emergency escape vessels. And the emergency of the Clue Sedesi. in Witch Head was not an accident. Her base contains everything required to turn interceptors disabled by the Rockforth Mycoid into hybrids. The location in the Witch Head Nebula means minimal turnaround time for the conversion process. And with that dose of space madness, I'm off to get me bra line tanned and to see whether the boffins on the Gnosis can come up with something even crazier. For the mug.
Accessing Hackscomb briefing channel. Authenticating. Access granted.
Incoming message from Hackscomb.
Thank you for calling the Hackswing automated briefing line. Please note that all conversations will be recorded and used for training purposes. Hunting Thargoids is an at-your-own-risk activity. Hackscomb and the Hutton Orbital Trucker Cooperative cannot be held liable for the accuracy of this automated briefing or any damage, injury, cryogenic exposure, illness, or death that may result from the application of this information. Currently, there are
0
systems under incursion at this time. This includes the following systems.
Reference error. Cannot process null array.
Currently, the Eagle Eye Network reports
0
systems experiencing infestation at this time. Systems experiencing infestation are
reference error. Cannot process null array.
Hackswing's primary areas of operation, in order of priority, are
reference error. Cannot process null array.
As always, Thargoids can be found in non-human signal sources in the following areas.
The Pleiades. The Witch Head Nebula.
Press 1 to end briefing. Press 3 to repeat briefing. Press 1 to
end Hackscomb transmission. Defend the mug.
All truckers alert! Moose Knockers has had to make an emergency dash, and so it's time for Harry Balzac to finally read the BGS bit. Head to Avik. Sirius are about to declare a war on us unless we take immediate action. This would cost us Bruce Prospect. Yeah, and seriously upset our Australian contingent, who obviously all live there. Tell who wrote this, can't you? Phew. Missions, passengers, bounties, trade and exploration data are urgently required. There is only one outpost, so medium or small ships only. For those of you who have been waiting to play with your pythons, now is the time. Get them out and do what you do best. In other news, Wolf-124 and our home in Alpha Centauri are way too high. Please work against us in those two systems until the numbers are down to 50%. Elsewhere, everywhere else is looking rather good. Even LHS 340, but that doesn't mean you can go there. Over in Colonia, all is looking good. There is an outbreak in Doritos, so we can make some nice profits and boost our influence there. EOL Procol Centauri is an investment, so there should be some good trucking to be found. And Tia are in boom. So as long as we don't annoy the CCN, we can mess around in there a bit too. Remember, Alvin does not want to expand, so work against HOT in AC and Wolf-124. And everyone, even vaguely near the bubble, needs to get over to Avik and slap those Dogstar folk down a bit. There's only room for one dog in that system, and it's Alvin. For the mug, over to Norma.
Once again, we are aimless, with no goals and no initiative, so there's nothing to share about that. Something else will fill our void this week. More on this later.